right. Sunday night sizzle. Come on, some Switchfoot up in the house, man. Made for us, y'all. Right. Great to have you at Celebration Church on July 4. Either you just woke up and you're headed somewhere, or you're a British citizen and you're just not celebrating. But great to see you. Somebody just got that. Great to see y'all out here. My name's John Scott, one of the pastors here, affectionately known as Pastor Big John. I think they called me Big John from the time I was born. I was 9 pounds, 6 ounces, and that didn't mean a lot to me until my wife started to get ready to have a baby. And then she asked that question, and then she prayed a lot the next few days. She found out. But just really on behalf of Pastor Stovall and Pastor Carey, our lead pastors, we're so glad you're here to worship together tonight, man. It's so good to be here in God's house on God's day. Not just celebrating our freedom as a country, but also our freedom as people, as Christians, that Christ has set us free. And that's something to always be happy about. I know Pastor Stovall said, like, every day is Resurrection Day. Every day is Freedom Day. Every day, just knowing that God has set us free. And it's for freedom he set us free. We're in the middle of a series called Unstoppable. We've been talking for several weeks about how we as a church, as believers, can be unstoppable with God's power, with God's love, with Christ in us. And so tonight we're going to roll right into that and talk about how we have unstoppable strength. Unstoppable strength. Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can come worship here. We thank you for how you have moved on our lives. We thank you how you moved in this place. We ask you speak to every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We think about strength in the Bible. A lot of folks are spouting out some verses. Almost everybody seems to know these verses, no matter where I go. Here in the church, one of the roles I have is I'm the extensions pastor, so I get to see what our great volunteers are doing at jails, drug rehabs, nursing homes. I love those services. The ladies all love me there. And the group foster homes, military bases, colleges, overseas campuses, all kinds of stuff. And I get to see what God does through our leaders over and over again. And a lot of times we get in rough environments, and it seems like some people know some verses. They know some John 3:16. They know some Philippians 4:13, especially if they're a Gator fan. They've seen that on somebody's eyelids before, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me while I'm in college. That's what it should have said. All right, so it's like a lot of folks know some Philippians 4:13. A lot of people know Psalm 23, verse 4. They know that because Tupac rapped it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But they don't finish the rest. They don't even know the rest of the verse. I'll say, who knows the rest of the verse? Nobody. I'm like, you can fear no evil? Do you know why you can fear no evil? It's because God is with you, because thou art with me. And we see that over and over. Have you ever felt like you were indestructible? Have you ever felt like you could do anything? I mean, you got it in your groove. You got it in your flow. You realize you're in a situation where you were indestructible. You could not fail. You had all the strength you needed. I've been in a few of situations. I think about one of the first situations of second grade. We got to field day. And I'm thinking, we get to this certain activity where I say, this is where I will flourish. This is where I'm going to rock. This is where everybody wants me on their team. No, it was not freeze tag. It was tug of war, because I was weighing in second grade at a smooth 68 kilograms, which is about 150 pounds, and I was rolling. Some of y'all ain't reached that yet, okay? So go big or go home. All right, so I was just 150 in the second grade. It comes time for tug of war, like, where's Big John? Even the second graders looking for me already, and I was good at that, but it comes time for relays, I'm picked last. Especially when it comes time for the one where you piggyback one way and then you get on the other person's back and go back. Nobody's picking me for that team, not even the teacher. If we had an odd number, the teacher's, I got a work-related injury. Times you think you might have, you think you're indestructible. I get to the tug of war, nobody can stop me. My team wins. Think about other times in my life I felt indestructible. I felt really gifted in high school at using my massiveness, my strength, whatever, as I was starting to roll up about 280, 290 in high school, playing high school ball, starting on our high school team. There were times where I'd feel like I was made for moments like this. Like that one time I saw those two cheerleaders in a minivan get stuck in the mud right outside the baseball field after football practice. I'm like, number one, why are they driving through the baseball field in the mud during football practice? But number two, I could push that van out. So I went out there and pushed a van out of the ditch. You know, and they didn't even offer to take me nowhere. I was thinking something would happen good from that. And I had all these, you know, I got recruited to Division I and all kinds of good things, went to Division I college. But, you know, one of the things that happened is during my physical fitness test to get into college, to go to my school, they had us throw a medicine ball. I'm like, what's a medicine ball? I don't get that. I'm from Mississippi. We got a basketball and a football. That's the only balls we know, man. Like, you can play with. So anyway, we run into this thing, medicine ball. You got to throw one. I'm like, all right. I get down there. I throw the medicine ball. It's like a 35, 40-pound ball. You got to throw a certain distance. I go first. I'm like, I'm a big dude. I'm like, I throw it. I'm like, oh, I did pretty good. Some 140-pounder comes up and throws it twice as far as I do. That's when I realized, you know, I got the strength of a grizzly bear but the arm of an 11-year-old girl, you know? And I'm thinking, I'm not gifted for this. I might have some strength, but I was not unstoppable in that. And other times, you might think you might have it together emotionally. You might think you are the emotional rock of your family. I thought I was. I was 15. I thought I was the rock of my family emotionally. Oh, I'm strong on the inside. I had this time when I was 15 when I suddenly knew everything. You know, there was nothing else to be learned. My mother, she learned less with each day. I learned so much more incrementally. And so I made a decision. I was going to do something. I was going to make some choices in my life, and she wasn't going to change my mind. I didn't care what she said. I came home. I've got this decision mapped out, what I'm going to do. Steel Magnolias is on TV. Start watching it. Start crying. Keep crying. Julia Roberts dies, all that. I'm crying my eyes out. Then Mama walks in the door from her second job, wearing her waitress outfit. And I say, want with some tears, yeah, Mom, you know, I thought what you said I should do, but you know what? I think I know better. And she goes, you think you know better? I'm your mama. I pushed you out 9 pounds, 6 ounces. You had a big cranium, then you got a big one now. You know, I brought you in this world. I can take you out of this world too. I can make another one just like you. You know, and she's just saying, and she's like, I just worked two jobs for you. And I start crying again. I'm set up for failure. I just watched Steel Magnolias, okay? It's like God set me up for that day. Life-changing events, I wanted to make this choice, didn't do it because Mama taught me out of it. I thought I was this inner strength rock of my family. No, I ran out of strength in that moment. I thought about something else I'm really good at. I excel at arm wrestling when it comes to Costa Rican children or teenage Asians, okay? So I was in Japan on a trip back in high school. I go to this school for a day. I'm in this international exchange program. Yes, Alex Tran, I know some Japanese. I'm huge in Japan, too. All right, so I'm in there. Alex is our internet campus pastor. I love him. All right, so I'm in there. I go to the school, and so everybody's like, oh, big guy. So all day in between every class, they want to arm wrestle. I'm arm wrestling 5 or 6 little 100-pound Asian dudes every class period, all day. I'm just killing them, getting more tired, killing them. Get to the last class of the day. I'm tired. They bring in the biggest dude in their school at the end of the day, all right? The dude's like 200. He's training to be a sumo wrestler. You know, he's like almost my size. I'm like, dang. He comes up, boom, knocks me out. Everybody cheers for him, carries him out of the room. I am not kidding, you know? And the rest of the day, they're just laughing at me, you know? And I realized that day my strength also ran out. You know, our strength is finite. It does not go on forever. The strength we have as humans, at some point, it's going to run out. And when it runs out, we have things to deal with. I know when I said a lot of you, have you ever felt indestructible? Most of us would say, not even close, Pastor John. Not even close. Most days, a lot of us feel like we're not strong at all. A lot of us feel like we can't get through anything. And you know, that's where God comes in. That's where Christ comes into our life and says, you know what? I got more strength for you to get you through this. And so I want to turn to Joshua chapter 1 and just look at the unstoppable strength that God gave Joshua. And as you turn to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to think about how strong God wanted Joshua to be. Joshua had been a strong person, all right? He had had strength. He had strength to believe Moses when nobody else would. He had had strength, you know, to go and believe God's promise about the promised land. He had had strength to go against the crowd. He was one of the 12 spies. He was one of two that believed they could make it to the promised land out of 12. He had had strong moments in his life under Moses. But when Moses died, God decided, hey, I got to talk to you, my son. I got to talk to you because you need some strength. So Joshua chapter 1. The Lord's charge to Joshua. All right, it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you, Joshua, to lead these people, the Israelites, across the river. I love you. All right, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Whatever you set your foot, you will be on land I've given you. From the Negev wilderness to the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, Euphrates River in the east, the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. That's a good promise. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. But look at this. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one. Look at somebody next to you and say, you are the one. You are the one, not that one. According to the Bible, not that, okay. Who will lead these people to possess all the land. Somebody's like, oh, man, that brought that girl and she said it to me, finally. All right. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land. I swore to their ancestors I would give them that promise he had given them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the left or to the right. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. John Wyatt's theme verse for life. All right, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Celebration Devo plug. All right, this is my commandment. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times he tells them to be strong. This is somebody who had been strong in his life. This is somebody who had shown strength, but God's saying, be strong, brother. Be strong, son. I'm about to take care of you. And so God can give us unstoppable strength. His presence gives us unstoppable strength. I want to show it and look at it for just a few more minutes. Three ways, three areas. Those three times he talked about be strong, let's look at them. All right, one of them, he gives him strength to lead. Straight up, he says it, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. God made a promise, and he told Joshua, you're the one that's going to help it happen for all these people. You're going to lead them. I'm going to give you strength to lead these people. These people, 40 years, these people, wandering around in the wilderness, without a home, nomads, almost like the St. John's campus for the last 5.5 years, nowhere to live, set up and break down every single day. You know, but these people for 40 years, imagine for 40 years not having a home to call your own. Imagine for 40 years, you're so poor, God didn't send you food stamps. He sent you the food every morning, okay? He didn't trust you with food stamps. He just said, I can't, you won't get it right. Here, take the food. Every day, that's how God had to deal with the children of Israel. Uprooted, I didn't say poor. They're po people. They had no stability. Somebody's like, what is he talking about? All right, but, you know, all this is the people God's saying, I want you to lead. These people who've had nothing, I'm going to help you lead them to my promise, to my homeland, my promised land for them. Strength to lead these people. I say unstoppable strength. I can't tell you how often I think about this. You probably have one, right? Pull it out and look at it. Just look at the front of it. Sermon nutshell. What does it say? Celebration Church. Leading people to experience a God-first life. Notice it doesn't say Pastor Stovall Weems. Leading people to experience a God-first life. Notice it doesn't say the youth ministry. Leading people to experience a God-first life. Notice it doesn't say the band. Leading people to experience a God-first life. Notice it doesn't even say the longtime members leading people to experience a God-first life. What does it say? Celebration Church, we are leading people. We, not they, not those folks who work for the church, not those folks who've been going there forever. We, Celebration Church, us, me and you, all right? Us, we are leading people to experience a God-first life. Strength to lead. Strength to lead. Sometimes we wonder, you know, what's the point? Why take church to people? Why bring people to church? Why start new campuses? I mean, why can't everybody just get together? You know, why do a dream center? Those people need something else. They don't need another church. There's like 80 churches down there. Why do they need that? Why do another church service in the jail? Why do another church service in a drug rehab? Why do one in a foster home? Why do one in a homeless shelter in Costa Rica? And people sometimes wonder that. It goes back to this. God wants us to lead people, not for us, but for them, to lead them to Him. To Him. Because if we're just leading them to ourselves, which Pastor Kerry says is like being in the Peace Corps, all right? You know, if we're just leading people to ourselves, that's all we're doing. We're just showing how great we are. And you know what? Our strength is finite. Our strength will run out. Your strength will run out one day. Hey, Nine Inch Nails got it right. Trent Reznor, he said it. Everyone I know goes away in the end. Yes, I just quoted Nine Inch Nails at Celebration Church, all right? Trent Reznor said it. Johnny Cash covered it, did a much better job singing it, all right? But everyone I know goes away in the end. Hurt, 1998, all right? So the Hurt song, you know, but he said it so well. If we just lead people to ourselves, we're going away. And what is that? That's cruelty. That's cruelty to only show love to people, to say, oh, well, I just want to be a good person and help somebody. You know, they'll just see my good deeds and they'll know it's God. But you know what? We're going to go away one day. You might move. You might get relocated. One day you're probably going to pass away unless Jesus comes back, all right? So, I mean, we need to lead them to Jesus because that's where it happens. We are leading people to experience a God-first life. I think about going to some of our foster homes. I think about the things that some of those kids have said, some of the things I've heard them say. We're talking about high points and low points with them. And one kid, we asked about, you know, what are the high points of your life? What are the low points? We weren't even asking them. We were just telling them ours, but they wanted to volunteer theirs. We didn't want to get too deep or cause any emotional stuff. But this one kid said, my high point and low point was coming here to this foster group home. He said, you know, I left. My parents couldn't take care of me. They were addicted. They were messed up. He said, I remember being drunk and on drugs at age 9. I said, I got this scar right here from when I wrecked my bicycle when I got high at age 9. And he said, and my low point was coming here, but it was my high point too. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, it's my high point because you guys were here and I found God here. It's my low point and my high point. And I'm like, that's leading people to experience a God-first life. Leading people to Jesus, not just doing our good deeds, but leading them to Christ. Same kind of promise God gave Joshua. You're going to lead my people for my sake, you know, on my behalf. Another kid even said to one of our mentors, she said, I was going to run away today. She'd run away several times. She said, I was going to run away, and then I remembered that you were coming tonight. That's being the church. That's leading people to experience a God-first life, leading people to Jesus, leading people to Jesus. Think about sometimes when people try to criticize churches for starting new campuses or new churches, and I'm not on a rant or nothing. It's in my notes, all right? But, I mean, when people sort of get that way, what are you doing? Why are you expanding? You know, there's other things you could be working on. I think about this kid right here. I think about the day I went to church when I was 11 years old for the first time since I was in VBS when I was in first grade. I had tried to commit suicide at age 10. I had an alcoholic stepdad. We was on government cheese. All right, it wasn't no good, but I still gained weight. All right, you know, it was a very difficult life. I mean, I had more Fruit Loops than you can count out of those Liberty boxes and that goat's milk that doesn't rot, you know, because it was free from the government. All that stuff. Remember going to church and I had holes in my shoes, holes in my socks. And I only went because a friend invited me. And I remember my first Christmas going to this little church in Mississippi. And I got to church and my youth director, he was a volunteer. He drove the van to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. He volunteered. He had a family. Here I was, a poor kid. Poor kid with an alcoholic stepdad. Only got to see my real dad like twice a year. Mom working 2-3 jobs. And this guy on Christmas, he didn't give me money. He didn't give me shoes. He noticed that every day I came to church, I had a Bible with me, and it didn't have a front or a back. The cover was ripped off, and all I had was a front page and a back page, Genesis 1 and Revelation. It was this jacked up Bible. And he got me a new Bible with my name on it for Christmas. You know what? I don't know where he is today. If he would have given me money, if he would have given me shoes, that would have passed away, my friend. But that word, man, it ain't leaving. That word's staying. It's connecting people to Christ. That doesn't go away. That does not go away. We're sitting here on Independence Day thinking about our freedom. And I talked about this morning in the offering message to some of our campuses. You know, freedom was bought at a price, and freedom was kept at a price. And I thought of my grandpa this morning. And one thing my grandpa taught me, he passed away, but he fought in World War II. He said, you know what? I went to Normandy. I did this. I did that. He didn't talk about it very much, but he said, and no one can ever take away that from me. I did that. He had 3 wives die. One of them was murdered. 2 of them died of cancer. He had a horrible life. He was an alcoholic for a good part of it. He got saved the last 6 years of his life. But you know what he said? He said, nobody can take away what I did. Nobody can take away what I did in that moment. You know, whenever we help serve in the church or reach out to others in the name of Christ, no one can take that away. No one can change what we've done. No one can change when we put that offering in the offering plate, unless the check is bad, all right? No one can change it, all right? Holla. All right, so, but you know, nobody can change when we give at that moment. What kid that's going to buy a Bible for in juvenile detention center? What person that's going to allow us to send over to C-Mart Ranch and get an extra background check in to be one more mentor on the ground? What person that's going to send to Costa Rica for a year to help start our new services there? You know they have 2 services right now, and both of them are packed out. You know, they got 240 people today, a record day in Costa Rica. Yeah, God's just growing that thing. We can't apologize for taking the church. We can't apologize for this. Because let me tell you something. This is the greatest thing we can ever do. Lead people to experience a God-first life. That will never leave. All right? Even Trent Reznor knew it. All right? He knew it. Okay? Everyone goes away in the end, but not Jesus. Jesus said at the end, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord. He's still going to be there. Who does God have for you to lead? He wants to give us strength to lead. Who's he giving you that strength for? Who does he want to give you more strength to lead? Maybe it is your family. Maybe you have not been a perfect parent. You know what? There are no perfect parents, okay? It's just Jesus, God's the only one. And like Pastor Stovall said, his kids messed up. His grandkid, first one, killed the other one. You know, he had a rough time. He wasn't a perfect grandparent either, all right? But listen, God's got somebody for you to lead. When I point to the connection card inside of this thing, do you know what these empty boxes represent? Serving, mission, outreach, leadership. Those empty boxes represent people. People you could lead. You say, I can't be a leader. I've been here 2 weeks. Dog, the first day I was here, they was trying to get me to lead, and I was all jacked up, okay? I sat right over behind that pole, all right? So listen. It doesn't mean we'll have you leading tomorrow, but you'll be serving. You'll learn some stuff. I learned some stuff when I was leading back in the day. You know, when I was serving on a team and wasn't even leading, I was learning some things from Pastor James, from Pastor Clint Henry, from all kinds of people in our church. Those empty boxes represent people that you could be leading to Christ, experience a God-first life. And I'm not trying to be condemning or anything, but if we never check a box, who are we going to lead? You know, and I would encourage you, check a box. If somebody don't call you, call me. I'll go find somebody and say, why don't you call them, all right? But listen, God has you here to lead somebody. God has you here and me here to lead people to experience a God-first life, all right? God wants to give you strength to lead like he gave strength to Joshua. He wanted to lead them into the promised land, across the Jordan River, over to Jericho, fight some fights, and have a homeland. He said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. The second thing, strength to follow. Strength to follow. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. It's in verse 7. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Strength to follow. Second time he says to be strong and courageous, he says, follow me. First time he said, be ready to lead. Second time he said, be ready to follow. Because even though you're leading people, you still follow me, son. I'm leading the way. It's interesting, you know, he had the fire by day back then. And a cloud by night. But you know what he told him to do? He didn't tell him to watch for the cloud or the fire, did he? He said, read the word. He said, follow me. Follow what I've already told you. You know something I heard once? It makes a lot of sense. God speaks through what he's already spoken sometimes. You don't have to just wait for a fresh word. He'll speak to what he's already got. You know, with Joshua and them, they're about to go take the walls. If they'd have stopped the day before and said, hold on, God, what do you think about adultery? Because, you know, some pretty girls up in there, we found some harlots with the tower, you know. God be like, what? Didn't I already tell you? I already told you. Come on, y'all parents, you've already done this, right? You told your kid. Didn't I already tell you? That's what God's saying here. I already told you some stuff. Learn it. Follow it. But he's also saying, follow me. Learn. Have strength to follow. Not religion. He's saying not just so you can learn the whole word, learn the whole Bible just to have a religion. But he's saying so you'll depend on me. I'm about to become a parent. I'm scared to death. No. And I'm like, my wife is 8.5 months. She's got like the turkey. You know how like when you put the little thermometer in the turkey and it pops out? That's what happened to the belly button. All right. So I love her, dude. She's carrying it all on the front. From behind, you can't even tell she's pregnant, you know? But anyway, so I'm about to become a parent. So I've suddenly, after working with students and kids all these years of my life, wondering why they're so crazy, it hits me that, you know, parents got a hard job. We had a pretty, somebody said, it kind of hit me, especially when we hit about month 7.5, we go in for ultrasound, and we find out we got a breech baby, all right? So she's facing the wrong way suddenly. I'm thinking there's not much room to turn in there, but you did it somehow. Way to go. That's nice, but it ain't working. So she's turning the wrong way, and all of a sudden, I got to be the active dad. You know, it's been an easy pregnancy up until now. I'm rubbing some feet once in a while, a little back rub here and there. Pretty easy pregnancy, but all of a sudden, it's like active dad time. And so I'm trying to turn my baby the right way. So we tried all these different things, trying to get her to turn over without having to go in and have somebody do it with painkillers injected to try to do that crazy thing. So we tried this ironing board thing up against a couch where she put her head at the floor and she lay on the ironing board for 20 minutes. She was miserable. She hated it. We tried this thing where I put a little ice pack right there above the tummy. You know, I don't have a large belly, but I'm trying to show you an example of what if I had one, what it would be like, you know. But so we put the ice right there, you know, because apparently if her head's there, she'll like, oh, cold, I'm moving away. And I'm thinking, if she's got my blood, she's staying. She wants some cold. And she's like, got my blood. She's high blood. She's like, sweet, I'm staying here. I found the right place. But we had this light, this flashlight. We're kind of like, all right, start at the top, follow the light. Follow the light. Please follow the light. We're trying all this different stuff, and she even tries. We put earbuds into the elastic of her shorts, you know, right below the belly button, and put on some good music. And she still didn't. She kind of jumped around, but she still didn't move towards the music. You know, we're trying all this stuff, and then we tried swimming every day. We always go early in the morning because she thinks all the kids use the bathroom in the pool all day, but maybe by the night the filter's running enough that it's filtered out. Smart woman, she knows some stuff. All right, so we're going every morning to swim. She's getting those hips stretched out, swimming. It's just happening. And then we even try this one thing. I got a picture of it. You know, try to turn the baby over, make it happen. We got a picture. We even did headstands up in the pool, trying to get her to turn over. She gave me permission to use that. Tried some other stuff. She, one night I was working on my computer, and then I heard her in the kitchen working. You know how it is, men. When you hear the wife working in the kitchen, you just kind of work harder. You know, like really intense. Oh, man, this is good. Get some stuff done. You hear her rustling in the kitchen. I'm thinking, man, she's cleaning that kitchen. Thank God. I didn't want to do it. And then like 30 minutes to clean the kitchen, we go to bed, and all of a sudden she's like, I got a heartburn. I'm like, why? She said, well, I've been eating for 35 minutes. And I said, what? What did you eat? So I had to write down a list. And I have a screenshot of that list right now that we can all look at together. Maybe I don't. Oh, yeah, it's on my Facebook. All right, notice my first post. Focus today on his goodness, greatness, and glory. I was being spiritual. The next thing I said was, Rachel's dinner, hot dog, gummy bears, orange juice, vanilla and chocolate pudding, corn chips, both blue and lime flavored, bananas, trail mix, jalapeno salsa, come on somebody, dark chocolate chips, pistachio, blue bunny ice cream, and a pork chop. And I'm thinking, if that don't turn the baby, nothing will, right? And but you know something else that they said to do? They said, you know, Dad, if you will go and you will talk to the baby from below the belly button and just talk. Just talk to her. She'll follow your voice because she loves you, right? She did turn over, and I'm sure it's because she loves me and she was listening to me, you know, and she ended up turning over. Everything was good. But it was really some great moments of just talking to my baby, just trying to sing a little song or say some promises over saying, you know, daddy's always right. Why haven't you been listening to me for a whole week now? Come on. Once she turned, I'm thinking that's the last time she's ever going to disagree with me for the rest of her life. She's always going to listen from now on. But, you know, I was telling her to turn, you know, and trying to get her to follow my instruction. And God hit me with it. You know, isn't that what God's doing, man? Aren't we turned the wrong way a lot of our life? Not just when we're lost and not saved, but we're turned the wrong way a lot. After we give our lives to Christ, we get all hard-headed and knuckle-headed. You know, we're turning the wrong way. We're doing our own thing. And God's like shining the light at us. He's got the worship blaring, trying to get our attention. You know, all kinds of things happen in our life trying to get our attention. And then it's his voice, and he's like, come on, just come to your father. Don't you hear me? You know one thing we had to do with that when I was talking to my baby girl? We had to turn off all the other sound in the house, and just so she'd only hear me. And I would just say tonight, wherever you're at, strength-wise, are you listening to your dad's voice? Are you listening to your father's voice? We have to have strength to follow our father. Joshua needed that strength. He was about to face the Jordan River, the Battle of Jericho, which made no sense to win because he didn't do anything except march around 7 days. You know, then the walls fall down. And God did it all. But then he goes into another battle and loses his second battle, and everybody's mad. He needed the strength to follow. And you know what? We're going to need the strength to follow God no matter what happens from today on. Things are going to happen. Some victories, some losses. And sometimes we're turned the wrong way, and our Father is trying to turn us around. We need strength to follow him. Strength to follow him. How about this on Independence Day? How about Independence Day you realize God's speaking to you? Maybe that's you. Maybe he's been telling you the right way to go. Maybe even some of your friends have been hitting you up, texting you, calling you. You're doing the wrong thing. Come on, I'm praying for you. Maybe they even brought you to church on July 4th, and you actually said yes. You know, and all of a sudden it hits you. God, I'm turning the wrong way. I'm trying to make my own way out of this. You know what, my baby, there was no other way out, by the way. She wasn't going up. She was going down, right? A lot of times we think we're going our own way. But God's saying, come on, turn. Just turn. Just turn the right way. Just turn towards me. We need strength to follow God. How about on Independence Day, we declare independence from our strength, from relying on ourselves, independence from going our own way, and depend on Christ. How about today we have strength to follow him? I love what, sometimes we think, I'm just one person in a crowd, I'm just one person in the world. I love what St. Augustine said way back in the 5th century. He said, God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. You're his child. He loves you a lot more than I love my baby. He loves you a lot more than you love your own children or anybody in your life. He wants us to turn the right way. He's trying to lead us. He wants the best for us. And that brings us to the last. Strength to continue. He says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The third time he says to be strong. He said it twice already about leading people, about following him. But he also said, you're going to need strength to continue. Some things are going to happen. You're going to face some mountains. Some problems are going to come your way. You know, Paul put it this way in Philippians 1:6. When it comes to God believing in us, believing in what we can do in our life with his strength. He said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. My version is God saying, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. And he's telling Joshua, you're going to need some strength because I will not be finished with you when you think you're done. You got some more to do. You're going to need strength to continue. The real question now is, what has God started in you? What if you thought maybe he's just given up on you? But what has he started on you? Do you hear him saying, even tonight in the worship and his love being poured out here, just saying to us together, I'm not finished with you yet. I started the good work in you. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to finish it. As the band comes up, I think about a moment in my life when I thought God was finished with me. I was 20. I had been a Christian for like 8 years. And one of my friends had inspired me, like really, was one of those friends that really got me to church, even when I got in the college years, get in church. And then she even pushed me. She pushed me to follow God and to go into ministry. I had my own mapped out. I had turned the wrong way. I was doing my own thing. And I had moved several states away to a college to play D1 football. Yet she would send me letters and scriptures saying, didn't God call you to ministry Why are you trying to do this thing? What's going on? Why are you running? God messed me up. I cried so much on Thanksgiving weekend 1994 that I got pink eye. I don't know how that works, but it happened. I cried so much. I read Psalm 1 over and over, and God just kept messing with me. John, turn the right way. Turn the right way. I went home and gave up a lot of things to go into ministry at that moment. She died 6 months later in a car wreck. And I'm thinking, this is our friend who had inspired all of us to do these great things for God. Then she goes and dies her freshman year of college. That was 15 years ago yesterday. And I thought about her a lot this weekend. And I thought about how I struggled with depression the next 2 years, thinking God didn't call me. It was just a person. Just a person inviting me to church. Just a person believing in me. But God's saying, through those 2 years, he continued to say, John, I still love you. I have not finished with you yet. I had to go to a counselor, but God worked on me. And can I just tell you tonight that he's not finished with you yet? That he wants you to continue? You may think like something was the end of the world, but it wasn't. You're still here. Your heart's still beating. And he still's got a plan for you. So tonight, wherever we are with our strength, let's turn to him and believe him to take us to a new level, to give us the strength we need to lead people, to follow him, to continue what he's already started in us. Let's all stand right now and pray. Lord, I want to thank you for loving us. We're a lot more stubborn than any human children when it comes to you. We turn the wrong ways over and over. But Lord, you still love us and you're still speaking to us. God, right now I pray you move on our hearts in this place, on this night, this moment. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.